tonight we will be reading from Philemon chapter 1 verses 4 to 7. Philemon chapter 1 verses 4 to 7. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother.
Please open your Bibles to Philemon chapter 1. And thank you, Patrick, for reading verses 4 to 7 this evening. And yes, that will be our focus. And the focus of the theme of our focus would be on Paul's appreciation, because that's exactly what this part of this letter is about. We discussed last Sunday the greetings, the verses 1 to 3 there, wherein we knew the author, then the recipient, then the greetings, and now the appreciation, Paul's appreciation of Philemon. Next Sunday, we will have Paul's appeal, and this is going to be divided into two. What was Paul's appeal? We know it already. It's related to him forgiving Onesimus, but we'll know certain nuances here in the scripture which Paul wanted Philemon to do. We will divide it into two, and we will have in the middle a sandwich of our study on the resurrection of Christ, because we will have Easter weekend, 2 Sundays from now. And then after that, we'll proceed to the second part of Paul's appeal. Then second to the last will be Paul's assurance. And then the last point will be the conclusion of Paul in his letter. So that's how we're gonna go through this book. Now, I've read an article entitled, What is Biblical Forgiveness? The subtitle is The Answer and Significance. It's a wonderful article, but towards the end, it gives us two things about unforgiveness. And unforgiveness, according to the author, is this. Unforgiveness hurts you and grows bitterness in your heart. But the second thing that he mentioned about unforgiveness is it does not only hurt you and grows bitterness in your heart, but it also hurts your relationship with God. That's what unforgiveness will do to your life. And we will see this evening that before Paul pleads or appeals to Philemon to forgive, he focused on thanking God for Philemon. Now, when I was reading this for the first time years ago, I was like, whoa, is he just getting to the good side of Philemon, trying to like tickle him before he ultimately charges him to forgive? You know, because it looks like that. Like, if you go to verse number 8 there, you will see, you know, therefore, though I might be very bold and cursed to command you. Okay, now there you go. That's the real meat of the letter. But here, he first like, is that what he's doing? Is he just trying to get to the better side of Philemon, trying to tickle his ears, telling him some things that are not true? Contrary, dear beloved. Contrary. You and I know, according to verses 1 and 2, that Paul knew Philemon very well. Not only Philemon, he knew Apphia, or Apphia, however we pronounce that, Philemon's wife very well. And he even knows also their son Archippus. Philemon, he calls beloved friend, fellow laborer. You don't call anybody, just that, beloved friend and fellow laborer. No, you must know that somebody very well. And you don't call Apphia beloved. Especially, she's not your wife, right? If you don't know her very well, you don't have a special relationship with a family, and you don't call their son Archippus a fellow soldier if you don't know what he's doing for the Lord. So basically, dearly beloved, we can go to the point that Paul knew this family so much that he knows what he's talking here about Philemon, who Philemon was, what was he thankful about Philemon. So Paul wasn't just trying to get to Philemon's good side here. He was just trying to tickle his ears with his wonderful words of affirmation. But Paul was actually reminding Philemon who he was in the Lord and what kind of character God had developed in him, because these are vital, these are foundational in relationship to the plea, to the appeal that Paul will request from him, which we will find next sermon, next study. In other words, these things that we will learn tonight will greatly influence Philemon's decision of either to forgive Onesimus or not. So, let's dive into that, dearly beloved. The Word of God tells us, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Lord, as we dive into this section of the letter, help us to learn this by heart, so that if someday we will be in the same spot as Philemon was, we will learn that forgiveness is truly based on the character that you have built in our lives and our relationship, our standing before you. Help us to see ourselves in this passage, to glorify you, Lord, in whatever decision we need to do in relationship, in response to this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing here, dearly beloved, that Paul thanks the Lord of Philemon is this. He hears of his love and faith which he, Philemon, has or had toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. If you go back to the Greek there, dearly beloved, you will ultimately see a clearer picture here of the words. Because here, when you read it, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. But if you go to the original language, it's clearer there that it says the love here refers to the saints, and the faith here mentioned by Paul refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I may, the first thing here that Philemon mentions that he's thankful to God for, I mean, Paul mentions that he's thankful to God for Philemon is Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the words we find there. He was thankful to God, and he makes mention of Philemon in his prayers because he hears of Philemon's faith which he has toward the Lord Jesus. The faith here mentioned, dearly beloved, is saving faith. Philemon, in other words, had true saving faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's a saint. He's a redeemed person. He's a Christian. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is noteworthy to mention that the verb used here to describe Philemon's faith, if you look at your Bible, was what? You have. You have. It is in the present tense, which continues. I forgot what is that in the progressive. There you go. Progressive present tense. So it starts somewhere and it continues. And that's what Paul hears about Philemon. He hears about his faith that is a continual faith. From the moment he was saved, it continues. Philemon's faith was an ongoing and unwavering kind of faith. This simply means, dearly beloved, that Philemon was indeed a true believer of Jesus Christ, and he was in Christ as one who had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, forgiven by the mercies of God. That's why Paul emphasized here grace in his greeting, and peace. And he emphasized also it's from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something Philemon can relate to. That's something that jumps out of his heart, because that's basically the gospel there. It's grace. So therefore, Paul knew that since Philemon experienced the forgiveness that God has graciously extended to his life, listen to this, he is then able, he has the power in himself, he has the ability to what? To forgive as well. He has the ability to forgive Onesimus, as Paul will appeal to him in the following verses there, because he experienced it himself. He was saved as well by the mercies of God. He was forgiven by God. That's why Paul emphasized that. In other words, what Paul was saying, listen, Philemon, do not forget, you also have been just forgiven. You're a man who doesn't deserve forgiveness. I and you, the same. And let me remind you of that at this very moment before you continue to my appeal. Because that will be a very big point that you should not miss when you're considering your relationship with Onesimus. You have been forgiven, and therefore you must also forgive. That's an important basis on even our lives today. On how we can extend forgiveness to others. In fact, there are many scripture passages. Let me just give you a few here, a couple here, that tells us about forgiving others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, and towards the end of his chapter, he says, let me just read verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. He didn't stop there. He didn't put a period there. He didn't put a full stop there. But he continues, just a comma. Breathe a little bit, because here it is, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the basis. Why am I able to forgive? Because I know I was just forgiven. Why am I not going to base my forgiveness to my emotion, to my anger, to the result of what you did to me, to all of these things that randomly happened because of your mistake? Because of your sin. And look at what happened to my family. Look at what happened to my church. Look at what happened to me. I'm a wreck because of what you did. I'm not going to base it there. I'm going to base it on the forgiveness that I received. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This is actually just kind of like a reflection as well. I don't know if Paul was copying from one of his letters and he just ultimately just, you know, remembers it. But I'm sure there was a purpose for this, because I'm sure even during their time, there were times that they need to forgive. Because I watch relationships, I remember relationships are messy. And it happens because people who are involved in relationship are imperfect people. So Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13. He says, let's start with 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, there you go. Let God reminding them, you have been elected, you have been forgiven, you have been graced, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must do. So when you go back to Philemon, when Paul tells Philemon, I've heard of your faith, which you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind you, as I hear about this wonderful thing about you, that your faith is continuing, that is a good foundation for my appeal to you later. Don't forget about that. You have faith in Christ. You have been saved. Furthermore, dearly beloved, along this line, let me just remind everybody that God had equipped us all, Christians. All of us. God has equipped us with everything that we need to obey His commands. We have the Word, which powerfully convicts and convinces us. We have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who empowers us. In other words, dearly beloved, there is no excuse for a genuine Christian not to extend forgiveness, no matter how deep the hurt is. There is no excuse. In fact, in the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example. What did he say there? Forgive us of our trespasses as we what? Forgive others. In other words, God using Paul here is just saying there is no angle whatsoever that you can look at the situation where you can conclude as a Christian, I cannot forgive. No angle at all. No angle. Because even if you find an angle, there's a command that erases that angle. And that command is coupled with the grace and the power of God. That's it. And if I can relate it, this in the morning's message, it's really just about my kingdom or God's kingdom. Because my kingdom says, don't forgive. My kingdom says, you hurt me. You did this to me. You know, and look what happened. It could have been nice if you didn't do it, if you didn't say this. That's my kingdom. But God's kingdom says, no. Forgive as you have been forgiven. That's the basis of the plea. And Paul uses that to remind Philemon who he is, who he was. So the second thing here that Paul was thankful about Philemon is not only that Paul hears of Philemon's continual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving faith, he's a saved man, is that Philemon has love for all saints. Remember again, the faith is related to the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing of your love toward all the saints. This love here that is mentioned by Paul about Philemon, that Philemon has to all saints, is agape love. Oh, I'm sure if you've been a Christian for many years, you have heard of sermons, you know, giving us the different kinds of love mentioned in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. But let's have a little bit of a review of what agape love is. Agape love is spoken over 200 times in the Bible, of course, in the New Testament. It is love at the highest level. It is selfless, sacrificial, pure, and unconditional. Agape love is a love of choice, not out of attraction or obligation. Agape love is what Jesus Christ displayed on the cross as he took our place for the sin. It's so much more than we could ever dream or imagine. Okay? That's why I want to say then that this is something that God can only work through us. Okay? And if you ask me, will God work this love in me? Yes. Yes, he will. And he actually does now. There's no question if this has to disconnect between my life and agape love. No, you have it. Because God showed it even to us. But agape love is unconcerned with the self. It's unconcerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another. It's exemplified by God. He sent his only son. And Jesus Christ obeyed. And even though, yes, he prayed that cup will be taken away from me, but he did say what? Not my will, but yours be done. So, I'm concerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another. Agape is not born just out of emotions, feelings, familiarity, or attraction, says this author, but from the will and as a choice. So therefore, this love requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape love, what author says, intentionally desires another's highest good. Highest good. And dearly beloved, again, if you're asking if I can do that, Philemon hadn't. Philemon hadn't. And he's not a super Christian. There are no such thing. There's only one category of Christians, and that's it. Christian. Saved. Saint. This was the kind of love that he had. And look at this kind of love that he had toward some saints. Lovable saints. Huggable saints. Friendly saints. What? Rich saints. Saints with the same nose that I have. Saints who use the same version that I have. Those NIV people, that's, you know, not inspired version people. Oh, what? Look at your Bibles. What? Toward what? all the saints. It's all the saints. Same with his faith, not just only all the saints. I want to emphasize as well that his love is an ongoing and an unwavering kind because of the same verb use, which you have. This is an ongoing, unwavering kind of agape love. And notice, dearly beloved, if you look at verse number 7, notice Paul and Timothy said, "For we have great joy and consolation in your agape love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you." So, as what our definition says, our friends have defined it to us, this is not just an emotional kind of love, it is a kind of love that thinks of the highest good. So when you think of the highest good of someone else, you don't just say things, you do things. Right? You show things. That's why Romans 5:8 is there in the Word of God. But God shows His love, that's agape love there, toward us. Not just period there after that. It continues in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Agape love thinks and does the thing that must be done to show that love. And so Philemon did. It was a refreshing kind of love. I don't know what he did. I don't know exactly what he did to show his love. Maybe he was discipling people. When people got hospitalized, he's there. Maybe when people were hurting, he's there. Maybe, you know, people have needs. He's there. He's looking at people's situation, people's hurts. He was there when people needed some assistance in the family, in the business, in their spiritual life. He's a refreshing kind of guy. It's not just because he is that kind of a guy personality-wise. Because, you know, there's some people, oh, because he's just like, because his personality. No. It's about his agape love. There's a reason why he does that. Because he loves all the saints. Oh, how we yearn for this kind of love, don't we? Aren't we magnetized by people who have this kind of love? You want to be with a person like this, right? Come on. You don't want to be with this kind of person? Of course you would. And more so, even in your mind, oh, I want to be that person. Right? I want to be that person too. So Paul here, dearly beloved, was certain. He was certain that Philemon would forgive Onesimus because of the kind of love, the agape kind of love, he already had for all the saints. Which, now we understand, Onesimus is a part of that group, isn't he? He's now a saint. And there we forget, agape love forgives. Agape love forgives. 1 Corinthians 13, the loved chapter of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, it says here, 4-7, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Yes, you cannot see the word forgive there. But if you look at the context, you can easily get the word forgiveness and put it there everywhere because you see that love, agape love, does forgive. If you think that agape love bears all things, then you forgive. Even though you're in pain, even though you've been hurt, you bear it because you love. Believes all things. Yes, you believe. And if you forgive, it will be for the best of that person. And it will be an obedience to God. And then you hope all things. That even if you forgive, it doesn't mean that you're weak. You know what people say, if I forgive, I'm weak. That I will just erase history that they have done to me? What will people say? No. You hope that if I forgive, and I may look other people's eyes, I will look as if I'm the weak one. You know, I've already been taken advantage of and I forgive. What will people say? No, but still you hope that this is what's the best for me, for that person, and this is for the glory of God, and endures all things. Yes, yes, I'm not saying it's easy, my brother, to forgive. It's very hard. Because it's against my kingdom of self. It's very hard. It's one of the hardest things to do. It's one of the hardest intangible things that you do. It's the hardest intangible thing that really hurts a lot. You know, I'd rather have you or I like cut my hand or wound me down so that I can see the blood coming out. I can see the pain. But forgiving my father, that was very painful. Very hard. It's like, I don't know. It's almost like there's a dagger. If I think of like forgiving, it's like something. But I need to endure that. I need to hope. I need to believe that that is what's the best for me and the best for my Father and for the glory of my God. And you know, when there's a lot of things that I thought that would happen in a negative way because I will extend to forgive, the moment by God's grace I have done it, the opposite is true. I felt peace. I had joy. It's like, why did I even think of holding longer? But of course, it's God's timing. It's God's working. But at the same time, I know, I was just hard-headed. I was just really hard-headed. I was hard-hearted. I was hard-headed. All the hard is on me. But that's love. And Onesimus had it. He loved all the saints. And so Paul, in effect, was saying, oh, you're going to meet another saint. And you're going to love him. Because, well, you've been doing that there, right? In the church in Colossae. You've been doing that. And Philemon was maybe like, oh, of course I would love anybody. I mean, the brother says, well, come on, oh, what's his name? And Paul, I'm glad you asked. How do you think Philemon react or respond when he heard Onesimus? Would he be like, what? Don't you dare mention, oh, what do you, I'd love to talk to Philemon someday. And ask him the moment that you read that letter and you knew it was Onesimus you were going to talk about. How did you feel? It's between us. Be honest. Because I also had a thing with my father. How about you with Onesimus? I would like to believe that he. Maybe there were, I think the contemplation maybe. Because again, it's hard, right? There's contemplation. But I would. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll preach about that next time. Preach about that next time. But it's sufficient to say that Paul was thankful to Philemon's love for all saints, that and that Paul was certain that he will forgive Onesimus because he did love the people of God. The third, he was not only thankful for Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for all the saints. But look at verse number 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now here, the phrase sharing of your faith kind of like leads me to think that, oh, okay, is it about evangelism? Like he's sharing of his faith when he goes out and evangelizes? But when I look at the context here and the meaning of sharing here, this doesn't mean evangelism. Of course, I believe that if you're a forgiving person, yes, your evangelism will be greatly empowered. I'm sure of that. But this does not mean evangelism here. Sharing here is the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. Which appears 17 times in the New Testament. And our English word for koinonia is fellowship. I'm sorry, I wasn't banging, it was a mosquito. Fellowship. Fellowship. But it goes beyond just spending time together or eating together or catching up. Because if you are me years ago, that's my idea of fellowship. Let's go fellowship. Let's eat. What do you have? I'll go over here to your house. Have coffee. Okay? And that's good. That is, you're trying to have fellowship. Yes. These are the things that usually come in mind when we think of fellowship. But koinonia, which is also fellowship, means more than just spending time together, eating food, or catching up. Koinonia refers to community. Koinonia, in the biblical term, refers to one's place in a group. In the biblical context, it's our place in the body of Christ. Your place in the family of God. And it is the representation of fellowship of such as a joint gift. That's what koinonia is. You belong. So it's belongingness. It's belongingness that you and I have been gifted with this kind of belongingness, community, body. So, Philemon was a Christian who values fellowship with the body of Christ, his community. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul was thankful to Philemon because of his koinonia, sharing of his faith with other Christians. For him, for Philemon, unity, harmony, and belongingness in the family of God is of his utmost priority. That's the kind of Christian he was. In fact, the word used here to describe his fellowship with the saints came from the Greek word energes. That word effective there, we find, may become effective. It's energes, which is our English word what? Energy, right? Energy. Philemon was all for energetic, lively, active, operative fellowship. Okay, again, not the kind of like, wow, we're singing here, we're dancing here together because, no. He doesn't propagate a lifeless, inoperative, disinterested, dormant, inactive kind of fellowship or belongingness. He's not a Christian like that. He's a Christian who is there to build up the body of Christ. He's a Christian who loves the body of Christ and he wants to contribute as much as he can, even to the point of not thinking about himself anymore. But this is for the body of Christ. He's that kind of a Christian. He's a kind of Christian who never neglects that he has a responsibility for a brother, for a sister, and therefore he does his best to be that person that he should be for the glory of God. He's that kind of a Christian. Two of the things that kill koinonia in the body of Christ is, listen to this, being unforgiving. Now, there are a lot of things, but a few is unforgiving and being vengeful, which usually go together. They go together. Hence, I had a desire to become a doctor because someday I was dreaming that my dad will come to me as a specialist and he will ask for medical attention and I will give him that with a pretense of I'll do my best, but I will leave a beaker inside of his body. You might be laughing, but that was me. I'm not kidding. Okay, maybe smaller than a beaker. A beaker is kind of, well, they have sizes, right? Yeah, beaker and then small. A small one probably would be okay. That was me. But if a Christian called this unforgiving spirit and being vengeful, that those things kill. Koinonia. You know that, right? Because if you are unforgiving and you are vengeful, you will not be the kind of Christian who you want to be energetic in your fellowship with the saints. You won't be there. When there's fellowship, you won't be there. When there's Lord's table, you won't be there. When there's a worship service, you won't be there. When there's lunchtime, you won't be there. When there's somebody's hurting, you won't. Because you have those kind of things in your heart that keeps you from doing those things. From being the Christian that you ought to be. That's why Paul mentions that here. And again, it's not tickling the ears of Philemon. This was Philemon already. He is already like this. But what Paul was saying that now, Philemon, you need to apply that to something that you might not have ever thought of. You need to apply that to your relationship with Onesimus. Look at Romans 12, 17 to 19. Paul writes to the Roman believers, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Verse 21, "Do not overcome by evil, but overcome." No, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, dearly beloved, Paul is reminding Timothy, Philemon here. Philemon, you're a kind of a Christian who has a koinonia, a deep sense of belongingness, and you want it to be effective, right? And that this result of this deep longing for unity, harmony, and belongingness in the body of Christ results to acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. What is Paul saying here? Acknowledgement here is the word pragnesis, which is knowledge. But this does not just mean head knowledge. Paul is not saying, oh yeah, if you have this fellowship, you will have head knowledge. Maybe you will. You will know each other and you will know the circumstances that everybody is in. But this does not just mean head knowledge. This means a deep, full, complete knowledge. It is experiential knowledge. Something you know because you have experienced it. In other words, when you extend forgiveness because you are all for unity, you are all for harmony, you are all for belongingness in the body of Christ, then, you will know what? You will experience what? You will have a deep, complete, mature, a knowledge of what? Every good thing which is in you. In other words, if you forgive, and the result will be that you belong to the body of Christ. You are there. It's energetic. It's real. You know, that is an open door that you will be able to know in a deeper sense all the spiritual blessings that God has given, not just to you, but to the body of Christ. That's the result of that. In other words, the opposite is true. If you are not a person who extends forgiveness and forbearance and patience with other members of the body of Christ, you will never experience this. Because you will always have this concept of what? I can do this alone. And being alone will never, ever achieve that kind of deep knowledge of the blessings of God. Because listen, the blessings of God is given in the context of the body of Christ. So, on the other aspect, if you say, okay, I'll just go to other churches then. But what are you going to do if that thing happens again? Are you going to go to another church again? And then when that doesn't happen, then you go to another church again? Then you're going to try the Philippine church again? Oh, Philippines are so dramatic. I'm going to try the Australian church. Australian church is like this. I'm going to try a Thai church. You know, and then, what are you going to do? Dearly beloved, what Paul is saying here in the context of forgiveness is this. If you love the body of Christ, you will have a deep understanding of what your relationship with the body of Christ is. And if you have that deep understanding, you will know what Paul enumerates here in Ephesians. What does Paul enumerate here in Ephesians? The blessings that God has given. Ephesians 1, 15 to 21. Paul says this, "Therefore, I also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Wow, it's almost the same, huh? Same wording here. "Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name is named, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. Paul mentions several blessings. First here is that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. What is this? It's about the revelation, the wisdom, what we have in the Word of God in the context of the body of Christ. You will know the hope of His calling. And again, the hope of His calling is not based on individual Christians. The hope of His calling, we share that as the body of Christ. Okay? And then we are and what are the riches of His glory in of His inheritance in the saints? See that? It's in the saints. It's not in the saints. And also, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward me? No, toward us who believe. So here's what I'm driving at, dearly beloved. If you execute an unforgiving spirit, you will never get to a point that you will understand in a deeper sense what are the blessings of God in the body of Christ, because you're always alone, you're always exiting, you're always trying to live a Christian life in a way that you don't want to journey with other people. Why? Because you have that unforgiving spirit. You have that vengeful spirit in you. God's design for all the spiritual blessings that He gave us in Christ is for us to experience it together. Together, as we koinonia in unity, harmony, and belongingness. And people who are unforgiving and vengeful will never, ever know that. We can never achieve the full extent of God's blessings to us as a body if our fellowship is marked with unforgiveness. That's why I don't suggest that you go to another service because the other person goes to their service. That's not the way to go. Or you go to, you sit down on this row because he sits down on that row. You know? Or you stop going to the music ministry because she's there. I'm just going to be in crash this year. You know? Oh, she's there in crash again. She transferred. Okay, I'm going to go to the Kappa ministry. And next year, why is she following me? I'm going to go to Sunday school. What happens if she's involved in all these ministries? What will you do? You'll stop serving the Lord? See the blessings that you'll miss because of that kind of spirit. So Paul told Philemon, you're a fellow worker, you're a fellow laborer. I know that you desire the koinonia of your faith to be really energetic, to be alive, because you want to know in a deeper sense every good blessing found in the Lord Jesus Christ. With that said, Paul tells Philemon, read on. Read on. But for us, don't read first. I mean, read if you want. But let's put kind of like a resting place first for a moment as we conclude this message. For all these character traits of Philemon, Paul says that every time he mentions Philemon to God in his prayers, what did he say in verse number 4? He was thankful. He was thankful. And so here's one thing that we need to understand, dearly beloved. There is no such thing as private Christian faith. No such thing. There is no such thing as private Christian love. There is no such thing as private Christian fellowship, because that's exactly the point of Paul. We must have a biblical understanding that God designed our lives to be interconnected. Our relationships must pursue then unity, harmony, and belongingness. An unforgiving spirit, a vengeful spirit, an impatient spirit has no place for the body of Christ. We must eradicate it. Because, sadly, that affects, that sickens the body. You and I must recognize that we are all interconnected. We are all.
Even if you don't believe that, we are all interconnected. Therefore, whatever you feel, whatever you exude, affects everyone. So again, is your private? Is your Christian faith private? Trying to be private because there is somebody here that you like? Or is your Christian love private? Is your Christian fellowship private? Because even oxymoron, Christian fellowship private, Christian fellowship, what's that? There's no such thing. So, dearly beloved, as we journey through these things, let's see ourselves there, let's be challenged. Forgiveness is based on the character that God has been working in our lives, in our relationship with God. Again, there is no angle, there's no reason, there's no excuse that you and I can say, I cannot forgive. There's no angle. In the kingdom of God, forgiveness is expected and commanded. God gives the grace. God gives the power. God adds the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us through this person we have never met, only in this book, Philemon. We are refreshed as well, Lord, by what kind of a Christian he was. But thank you, Lord, in the context of this letter, we understand that even though he's an exemplary Christian, there are still places of challenges in his life that he needs to apply biblical truth. And that's where we will learn if we truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or truly that we have loved saints, or truly that we aim for a deeper koinonia with everybody. Bless these words, Lord. Keep molding us as our potter. Lord, have your way through this clay. In Jesus' name, amen.